Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. There I am with them. As I look across our church, think about where we're at and where I'd love to see us go, and I think, well, there's many things I need to do differently. But one is highlighted in our sermon today, and that's this idea of praying. Our title of our sermon is Praying Forward, as we look to who God has called us to be and being that church. But we pray forward when we pray together. Because one area I believe that I've allowed us to lack in, and this is my confession to you, is praying together. I lead us in prayer on Sunday morning. You may pray in your Sunday school class together. But as a body, I've not provided those sort of opportunities for us to pray together. There is power in praying together. Think about the Lord's Prayer that we'll use as our model if you're looking at your sermon outline today. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Many of us pray only by ourselves. And that's good. It's good to pray by yourself. You need to pray by yourself. If you are not a praying person, I hope that today you'll go, wow, that stuff Pastor Aaron talked about from the Bible, man, I ought to try that out. That you should pray, and you can pray at all times, about all things, and all ways. I tell you, I did something this week at camp I'd never done before. After my message on Monday night, when I said to the boys and girls how somebody may have mistreated them and they may have been hurt by that, and asking that they might forgive that person, but also praying for God's protection for them, in the swimming pool later that night, I had a little 10-year-old girl swim up to me, and she says, Pastor Aaron, when you said about that, and she told me a story about some things that she should have never had to go through as a young lady that broke my heart. I can tell you this, I'd never done pastoral counseling in a swimming pool before, but I did. And right there with her floating on her little floaty thing with me standing up because I was tall enough, I put my arm around that little girl in the swimming pool and I prayed for her. Folks, we can pray anywhere, even in a swimming pool. We can pray anytime. We can pray about anything. And God calls us to pray together. Together. There's power of prayer in a group. I'd submit that if you're not praying with other people, and this was my conviction, then you're not getting the support you need. If you're not sharing your requests with other people that they might pray for you, you're not utilizing prayer as widely and broadly as you can. We should ask ourselves questions like, who am I praying with on a regular basis? Who am I praying for on a regular basis? You might say, well, Pastor Aaron, it's kind of hard for me to pray out loud. I would say, well, ease into it slowly if you have to. Or just jump in with both feet. You know how it is getting into a swimming pool sometimes. It's hot outside and you're hot, so you want to be in the water. But then you put your feet in the water and it feels cold to you. And you can kind of ease in, you know, and you've seen people that are, and they get splashed. Or, psh, and as my wife says, if you don't want to get splashed, don't come to a swimming pool. You can do the ease into it approach and, you know, finally get all the way cooled off. Or you can just do like I normally do, and I'm like, I'm going to get it over with. You know, like ripping a Band-Aid off. I stand at the edge of the pool at a part deep enough, and I say, kids, I'll be in a minute. Whoa, push. So when it comes to praying and praying together or praying out loud, you can do it either way, but I would say to you, do it. And it might be that you need to practice by yourself, praying out loud, maybe not when other people are around so they don't think you're crazy, but pray out loud, all by yourself, just you and God. And then it might be a little easier for you when it comes time to have a group prayer in Sunday school or a Bible study or for a friend for you to pray. Or maybe another way to ease into it would not be with a large group, but when a friend tells you something that you're concerned about, you're burdened for, you don't just say, I'll pray for you. But right then and there, you say, I'll pray for you, but I also want to pray for you now. Put your arm around them, bow your head, don't even give them a chance to say no. And just pray. And you don't have to pray a God, the world, and other things prayer. You just pray for that one little thing. Your friend's got a problem at work. They don't tell you what the problem at work is. And you put your arm around them right there and say, God, I don't know the problem and all the problems and personalities of my friend's work, but you do, God. Would you help them? Would you give them wisdom? Would you help them make it through? Amen. 20 seconds. It's amazing, the power of prayer. So we should pray together and we pray forward. We pray for others. We pray with others. And we are the body. You've got a scripture verse there next on your outline, the top of the outline. And that's Hebrews 4:16. We've memorized that. You ought to know this. It says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, the times when I don't feel that I'm needy, that's when I'm in trouble. Can I get an amen? Because if I'm honest, I always need something. Do any of you have all the wisdom you need to make all the decisions you have before you? Do any of you have all the strength you need to make it through every day? Do any of you have, now this one, whoo, I'm going to step on some toes here. Do any of you have all the patience you need to deal with the people God put in your life? No. All the time we are in need. And if we're honest enough to admit our needs to ourselves and to God, then we just turn it into a prayer. God, help me meet this need. So God tells us that anytime and about anything, we can pray together. And I want to focus in on that idea, as our little logo shows, of being the body. Being the body with one another. Not only praying for one another, but praying with one another as we work through our acronym here today. P-R-A-Y. Pastor Sean learned this out at the Lead the College University with the guys from Dare to Share. And I love this simple acronym. And if you look at your outline there, the P is for praise. Praise God for who He is. Praise God for who He is. What a wonderful, simple idea Sean brought to us with using the alphabet to help move our minds to think about who God is. And we wrote down those character descriptors. And what a blessed time for us to call them out together. I mean, you could do that in your own household. You could even do that with small children. Do that in your Sunday school room. And I think we got to do that again in church some Sunday, Sean. That was so good. I want to do that again. We got to get the ladies to do the six-handed piano thing again. And we also got to do that again. We praise God for who He is. Our Lord's Prayer there, it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed, however you say it, be your name. Who's God to you? Have you taken enough time to think about who He is and what He does, that He's big enough and strong enough and holy enough in your mind and worthy of your prayers, your trust? When we focus on praise, we focus on who God is. And what a great way to start a prayer. This acronym can be a way that you might think through every prayer. that you think about the fact that I want to begin my prayers with praise, praising and worshiping God for who He is and for what He does, so that everything that follows that in your prayer is setting on the foundation of a sovereign, loving, powerful, awesome God. So you start with praise. That's the foundation. That's the beginning. I learned a model when I was a child, Acts, and it was A for adoration. And it's the same idea of adoring, recognizing, praising, worshiping God for who He is and what He's done. I read of an idea recently that I want to give you as a little hint, because it's kind of a cool idea. And it doesn't take any money to do it. It just takes a little thought. You might also pray that God would help you to remember to do it, or give yourself some cue or hint to remember to do it, or talk to somebody else that, hey, I'm going to try this, hold me accountable, see how I did it. And that's this idea of breath prayers, just simple prayers. And a model of that might be calling out something about God, that almost like breathing out, you would say that. That if you know you're facing a challenge, you might say, God, You are great, as a prayer. And anytime that challenge comes to your mind, in your mind you can echo that challenge with, God, You are great. If you're looking at circumstances and they seem difficult and you don't understand, your prayer might be something like, thank You for Your goodness, God. Thank You for Your goodness, God. Just a simple praise. Three or four, five or six words that focuses your mind again and again and again on the characteristics, the attributes, the actions of God that you are most concerned about in your life at that time. Why do we do that? To build our faith, to strengthen us as we consider who God is and what He wants to do. I don't know about you, I've never really practiced that before, at least having that repetitive type phrase. Now, there's been times when I use my watch. I used to have one of those electronic watches, you know, that you can make it beep on the hour. And every hour on the hour, I would pray for someone or something. I remember when Melanie went on a mission trip to Kyrgyzstan in Central Asia before we got married, and she was still living in Atlanta. I set my watch, and every hour on the hour, I prayed for her. And she knew I was praying for her. That was the first time I did that. It was a very meaningful time to do that. So it may be something like the ding of your watch or your clock at home, if you have a wall clock that chimes or sounds some way that reminds you to say a certain prayer. I don't know what it may be for you or how it may be. I know many times when I see something, it reminds me of something. Like, for instance, you know, I don't know the car kind of car that all of you drive, but if I see a car that reminds me of your car, it makes me think of you. I pray for you. Yeah, so maybe you want to come by and say, hey, Pastor Aaron, this is my car before you leave today. If I drive by your neighborhood, I know it's your neighborhood. I pray for you. If I see something that's related to your company or your line of work, I pray for you. That's me. I'm a kinesthetic sort of guy. I'm touchy-feely. I got to have those sort of things that remind me. You know, so all the time, that's the way it is. I'm just looking right over here, and I see Miss Nora, and I know she's a gymnast. See anything doing with gymnastics, I pray for Nora. You know, I know her dad, Al, our guitarist, works for the City of Lincoln. I see, you know, City of Lincoln truck, I pray for Al. Sometimes of years, I pray for him more than others. But I use little cues to help remind me to pray for other people. So we can pray for other people that way, but we can also pray God's attributes and God's characteristics that way when we realize and recognize that He is our Father. And we offer up these simple breath prayers. So you might think about that. Number two on your outline there is requests. Requests. Requests for God's actions. What kind of requests do you have for God? The Lord's Prayer that's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is praying God's sovereignty on earth. Well, yes, He's sovereign even if we don't pray it. But this is our recognition of His sovereignty and joining with Him in that. And there are two types of requests. And the first you might write down is intercession. Intercession. And that's request on the behalf of someone else. Intercession is praying for someone else, an intercessor. Based on that word intercede, to come between or to go before, almost like an ambassador, connecting the two parties, smoothing everything out. So when you're intercessing for others, that's the type of prayer, as I said, I do when I see something that reminds me of you. And I might not know the circumstances of your life, but I know God does. And if I don't know those, I'll offer an intercessory prayer like that. You know, God, would you bless Miss Nancy today? Give her the strength she needs. God, would you help Jason to have the wisdom he needs today? And just whatever comes to my mind, and I'm lifting up and interceding for you. The second type of prayer, request, or supplication. There's a request for the supplies of our own life, supplication like supplies, that God would supply our needs. These are things we lift up to God about our own life. So you have intercession, you have supplication. Intercession can be praying for somebody's salvation. Scripture's clear that not only should we share the message of salvation with others, we ought to pray for their salvation. Scripture says that the man without the Spirit can't understand spiritual things, for they're spiritually discerned. That's 1 Corinthians 2:14. So we need to pray that God's Holy Spirit would speak to them and draw them. I want to turn back, because I haven't memorized this verse, but this verse was suggested with this outline, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. I'll read it for you. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. That's an intercession for somebody, isn't it? You could just be an Epaphras if all you did was pray those three requests for others, that they would stand firm in the will of God, be mature and fully assured. Wow. Maybe we ought to, you know, be an Epaphras church where we're praying for each other all the time to stand firm in the will of God, be mature and fully assured. We can pray for people's physical needs, their emotional needs. We can pray for their healing. We can pray for anything you can name or think of for others. You can pray for anytime, all the time. You can pray. That's intercession. Now, supplication. As you pray for yourself, you think about Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. And if you're not in Matthew chapter 6, I'll ask you to turn over there with me. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. He basically tells us a type of things we can pray for ourselves. It's not limited to these things, but notice what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Now, depending on where you're at in life and depending on your health or physical condition, some of these may be more challenging than others, but Jesus says, don't worry. He says, is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? And he goes on and gives us this analogy. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Yes, you are. It's a rhetorical question. You are the pinnacle of God's creation. God's image is in you. God sent Jesus to die for you, and he's going to take care of you more than birds and lilies. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Well, actually, doctors tell us worrying can subtract hours from our lives. That the stress, and the blood pressure, and all those other kind of things. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. That seems like a simple sentence, but when you're the O ye of little faith, it's very condemning, isn't it? Especially knowing that it's coming from our Lord Jesus. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The newspaper this morning, because it's the back-to-school time of year, had as many ads in it as it did news. And these are all things that we need. Our kids grow. We need to buy them clothes. We eat food today, so we need to buy food for tomorrow. I'm not saying we shouldn't buy these things. I'm just saying with Jesus, don't worry about them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When you're resting in God's love and in your relationship with Him, He says everything else is going to come around and He will take care of it. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I get an amen? Request. So we can offer requests to God for one another. We should share our requests with one another, and we should pray with one another. So I want to give us some time to do it. Just a few moments, but we won't rush. And I'm going to ask you to get together with some people. You may be sitting near your family. You may be sitting by somebody you don't know. Introduce yourself, and if you have the desire to or are confident, share a request, something that's on your mind or on your heart. It may be for something else. It may be for you personally. And pray together. So let's not just talk about praying together today. Let's do it. Let's take a little time and do that right now. Two more parts to our acronym. One is admit. Admitting my sin to God. Just as that scripture says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors in the Lord's Prayer. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. No matter what, no matter where, no matter how long, no matter how bad, all means all. Maybe somebody needs to be free today. This is your day. As you remain standing, there's one last part to our outline, and it's a part for you to consider as you go, and that's yield. Yield and being yielded, yielding my life to God. Ephesians 4:2 says that be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Over in James chapter 4, verse 6, it says that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. He will lift you up. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 It says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. As you go, and as we sing one more song before we make announcements and are dismissed, think about being yielded and humble before God. Because as our scripture, the model prayer ends, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For whose is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever? Amen. And that's who we yield to.